Overtime continues here on The Fan, getting you up to 10 o'clock. Nuggets and Charles and O. Willingham manning the controls. Y'all know how I get down, right? I like to be very real, very open, honest, and transparent with you. I've been to one NFL game in my life. It was Dwayne Haskins' Selfie Gate. First game, only game I've ever been to in my life. I had a personal bottle of Paul Masson. I had some really, really good seats because the then Redskins were ass at the time. And I was on the Lions side, like two rows behind their bench. And I noticed how narrow the damn field goal posts were. Now, I noticed that on the practice field too. But I feel like in the stadium, it hit even different. Hit even harder. And throughout the game, I'm boozing, drinking my Paul Masson, having a good time with my boy Abe. And I'm realizing, like, kind of quiet in here. Now, mind you, this is pre-COVID. So, like, fans are still out there. It was just Redskins and Lions. Both teams. I think David Blau may have been the starting quarterback that afternoon for the Detroit Lions, if I'm not mistaken. It was just an ugly football game to watch, man. It was. And as far as, like, special in-game perks, promotions, like, it felt pointless being in the stadium is how I would put it. I felt like I was constantly confused on who the penalty was called on and what the penalty actually was. Not hearing the broadcast team was nuts. I don't believe the current PA announcer, Mark Fratto, was the PA announcer then, so the PA announcer even sucked. Kidding, I have no clue who that person was. I'm sorry. But no, it just, after that, like, that was my first time, at an NFL game as a fan, and I didn't enjoy my viewing experience. I think football, more than any other sport, is more enjoyable on television. Play-by-play announcers, hearing what the refs are calling, so on and so forth. I don't think it's even close. As far as what sporting events I'd want to
Not when your team's winning.
In person at, what'd you say?
Not when your team's winning.
Well, it's probably a little bit different then. But as far as sporting events I'd want to go see, the World Cup for me right now is at the top of the list. We have the World Cup final coming up on Sunday. Spain, Argentina. The get-in price is $7,500. It's $7,500 to get in. And it got me thinking, and I want you all to think on this as well. Hit us up at 1-800-636-1067. How much money would you be comfortable dropping to go to your ideal sporting event? Like, for me, the Wizards in the finals would probably be the number one thing, the number one sporting event that I would want to go to.
More than the Commanders in the Super Bowl?
The United States was in it. I don't even think the United States needs to be in it, as long as Lionel Messi is on
the More than the Commanders in the Super Bowl.
I don't think football is enjoyable in person. I don't even care if they were in the Super Bowl. I just don't think it's enjoyable in person.
Your favorite band is like the halftime act too, just...
I would just go to a concert. But that's just me. I know I'm probably, different from a lot of other people on that. I just don't think it's enjoyable. As far as how much I'd be willing to pay, let's just say I have my current living expenses. And I have my current rate of pay. The most I'd be willing to pay to get into a marquee sporting event would be like $250. $300 maybe. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. How much money would you be willing to drop to get into your favorite sporting event? Anybody paying $7,500? If you're at that World Cup final, and I'm assuming... Let me actually look this up. Is the World Cup final in L.A.? Somebody help me out with that. I know last night was in... No, it's in Miami. No, I'm sorry. England, France is in Miami. The final on Sunday. Wait, is the final not Sunday?
It's at MetLife Stadium.
Wait, I forgot about the stupid consolation match. I think that's the dumbest thing ever, by the way. That they're doing a third place game. I'm about to say, what the hell? Am I confused? Do I not understand?
They do that in the Olympics.
That's silly.
That's like if the Final Four, right? The teams that lost the semis, they
play. I mean, come on. Who the hell would care? Spain and Argentina is Wow. Oh, come on. We got to do better. How the hell did MetLife Stadium get the World Cup final? What? I think that's egregious. There's no way. I hate that. Because I don't want Woody Johnson's ass or Steve Tisch or the Maras to benefit from this. That's disgusting. By the way, Roger Goodell, if you've got a set, investigate Steve Tisch. If you've got a set of you know what, investigate Steve Tisch for his involvement in the damn Epstein files. And they're getting rewarded as an organization with the World Cup final. Get out of here. 1-800-636-1067. Sean is in Falls Church. What's up, Sean?
How are we doing, Linnell? Doing pretty well.
I'm doing good, man. What you got for us? How much would you pay?
How much would I pay?
First of all, can you tell us what you do for work? I think adding the context of like how you're living.
That's fair. What am I willing to spend? Because what do I have? I'm a restaurant manager.
Okay, cool. What restaurant? Do you mind sharing?
No, that's fine. So I was at a place called Ruthie's over in Arlington, currently in the Great American Restaurant build.
Okay. Gotcha. I'm going to have to come check you out, man.
Yeah. So like any of like the Sweetwater, Silverados, Coastal Flats, that kind of thing.
I got you. Coastal Flats.
Great seafood. So I would be willing to spend $1,500, and it wouldn't be, obviously it wouldn't be for an NFL game, because I don't want to spend that and not enjoy the experience. I'm kind of with you on that.
Mm-hmm.
Baseball, actually, I think is better in person than it is on TV.
Okay. I feel that way about basketball. I think basketball is very, like, really enjoyable in person relative to TV.
I would agree with you. It has been about 6 years since I went to an NBA game, so okay. I can't say, on that front. But, yeah, no, I would say $1,500. And I'm a Premier League guy, so I would love to make it a full trip.
Ha ha! There we go. By the way, so you're a soccer guy then. Man,
big time.
The greatness of Lionel Messi, the clutchness of Argentina throughout this World Cup actually makes, in the knockout stage in particular, I don't know if you know the numbers, Sean. I believe it's like only two goals before the 85th minute or the 79th minute, and then after that, they've got 9 goals. So
it's incredible. It's insane. And Messi, he's 39. He's got like 33 goal involvements in his career in the World Cup.
He's ridiculous, man.
We're watching greatness, and we need to appreciate it.
Sean, I appreciate you as always, pal. Appreciate you tuning in, man. 1-800-636-1067 is the number here on a Thursday night edition of Overtime. In lieu of the World Cup final being set, Spain, Argentina, from MetLife Stadium on Sunday. Yuck. The get-in price is $7,500. How much money would you be willing to drop on a sporting event of your choice? I'm talking about your number one sporting event that you'd love to go to. So I'm talking about bucket list type stuff. How much money would you be willing to drop? We just had a caller who's a restaurant manager. He said $1,500. I should have gave him my damn Cash App on the way out. If he's raking it in like that, no, I'm kidding. To me, I told you, $250 max. I'm sorry. One, I ain't got it like that. And then two, I just think that's a ridiculous price to pay to go to a sporting event.
You're going to hate this. I paid $700 a ticket to see Ozzy once.
Concert's different.
They were damn good seats.
I would hope so. I mean, jeez.
He sprayed me with a hose from stage.
Now that is something that's unique.
I'd drop $2,000 on a sporting event. Yeah,
oh, my God.
I would.
No. So I misheard you for a second. I thought you said you did.
No, but
I'm about
I would.
To say, EJ.
I would.
What was it? But
if I got tickets to the final round of the Masters or Ravens were in the Super Bowl, you know, come on, man.
You'd be all in.
Have to.
Joe in Rockville wants to check in. Joe, how much cash are you willing to drop to get into your favorite sporting event?
Hey, what's going on? I'm partner in crime. I definitely would drop around $500. I take the price of my season tickets for the Wizards that I had 2 years ago.
You were a Wizard. Hold on. You got season tickets for the Wizards 2 seasons ago? Why?
Well, I'm sorry. I had them when Paul Pierce was here.
Oh, I got
you. And they almost went to the championship.
Went to the Eastern Conference championship. But, yeah, I get what you're saying.
So my season tickets were like $325 a chair. So I would say I'm $650. But now, you know, I'm your partner in crime when it comes to, you know, I talk to you on Saturday.
Yeah, my man.
Brian is home, but no doubt about it, man. No doubt about it. $650. Basketball is the best sport to watch in person.
Yes. So here's the thing, Joe. I've never been to a Caps game, so I can't technically speak for it yet.
I'm sorry.
I haven't been to a hockey game yet, so I know a lot of people talk about, especially the Caps, man.
Gotta,
what they do at Cap One.
You got to be there. No, that I agree. You got to be there. That's not TV. And then playoff hockey takes it to a whole nother level. I did have the fortune to go to a Super Bowl.
Wow.
And that is the only game I would see in person if my team was playing. My team was playing.
Okay.
And I enjoyed it immensely.
Well,
you beat
the Redskins.
Well, anyhow,
who you root for,
Joe? Right now, I just watch group games, man. I'm tired of my teams breaking my heart. I just want to see a good game.
Nah, Joe, as soon as I start getting
food for somebody, they break my heart. My blood pressure is high. I mess up the rest of the week.
I appreciate you as always, man. I hope to hear from you soon, bro. 1-800-636-1067. Is the number. $7,500. That is the get-in price for Spain and Argentina coming up on Sunday in the World Cup final. If you could go to a sporting event of your choice, any sporting event of your choice, how much money would you be willing to drop on it? 1-800-636-1067. Lou is in D.C. wanting to chime in. Lou, what's going on, man? What would you drop, and what sporting event would it be?
What's going on, Big Dog? Can you hear me?
What is going on? Oh, is this Lou? Brother!
Yeah,
I know you took your hiatus during the offseason, but I always think that you died. I'm glad you're still with us.
No. Hey, man, I'm still alive, baby. You just, you know.
That's what's up, man. Good to hear from you, Lou.
Yeah, we just grinded like you, man. You everywhere, man. I hear you late night, in the morning, in the evening. I mean, come on, man. Yes, sir. It's good to hear from you. And I add another $250 to what you said. You say $250. I say $500 since this is the last game and it's the final. And plus, it's messy. But other than that, man, you know, this is a straight up robbery. And you know, the FIFA. If you go watch the Netflix, I've been watching a bunch of stuff on Netflix.
Lou, I know what you're talking about, bro. I just tapped into it, too. The FIFA joint? Yeah, I did. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so they literally robbing people, man. So it's not.
There's corruption in every sport, though, Lou. You know that. There's corruption in every sport.
But,
and somehow, some way.
But this one is obvious, man.
FIFA is ignorant with how corrupt they are. Yeah. I agree.
That's all I wanted to say, man. Good to hear from you.
For sure, man. I know we'll hear from you a lot more as we get closer to football season, man. For sure. Appreciate you. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. Speaking of football season, getting closer and closer, baby. We'll get you a Commanders training camp preview coming up on the other side. Our pal David Harrison of the Locked On Commanders podcast, as well as WUSA9. He joins us next here on The Fan. Talk to me, baby. Hit me up on the phones, 1-800-636-1067. Spain and Argentina locked in the World Cup final. Get in price via TickPix. 7,500 big ones. I think that's insane. I don't care how much damn money I was making or had. There's no chance I would ever spend that much money on a sporting
event. The thing is, these teams aren't really appealing to the average middle-class person anymore. There's high rollers, a lot of them now, and they don't really care about the rest of us. They want the high rollers to spin. And that's what so you could price something at $100, you can price it at $800, and it's going to sell either way. They're going to price them at $800. They don't really care if you can take your kids there anymore. They don't care.
Look at you. That was a very thought-provoking comment that you made.
It's just what it is. It's the way that the economy and everything's shifting in this country.
Shifting for not the better.
I mean, if you're super wealthy, then it doesn't matter.
We're going to get to the calls here in like 10 seconds, promise. In like 36 minutes, Donald Trump is set to address the nation. I may or may not have a $5 bet on whether or not LeBron James is going to announce his decision at 9 o'clock tonight. I am just saying.
That would be hilarious.
That would be, it'd be something. Eric is in Chantilly. Wanting to check in. Eric, what's up, man?
Well, now, what's going on, my man?
What is good, dude? How are you?
I think you nailed it on the head there when you said it's about the experience. You know, it's not about the sport, because I agree with you wholeheartedly. An NFL game, you're missing out on the replays. Mm-hmm. You're missing out on the commentary.
I didn't even think about the replays
on your phone, man.
But Eric, good point. I didn't think about the replay aspect of it either. Yeah, in terms of like a challenge. And watch it on your phone. Yeah, like, get your cell signals. Got to be great.
When I was a kid going to RFK games, we didn't even have cell phones. We still had wireless TVs we'd bring with us so we could watch the replays. It ain't that hard. We can do this, man. That's not a big deal.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you're talking about the Commanders, they go to the Super Bowl. And also, you got to think about location. If they're in, it's, you know, obviously it's going to be domestic in the U.S., mm-hmm. so flying to L.A.
For now, Eric. Can I make a bold take during your call? 10 years from now.
Go for it.
WWE has started to take their money overseas because the Saudis are willing to pay ridiculous money. I think the NFL is going to have the same opportunity, and we will have an overseas Super Bowl.
Because World Cup, the thing you have to factor in there is, like, half the time it's like Qatar or like South Africa or, you know, someplace crazy. That's going to cost you $2,000 just to get there. Then the hotels, and then you add on this crazy, like, $7,500 ticket thing. It's crazy. So, you know, so for me, you know, I'm a web developer, working in Chantilly, you know, making $85K. You know, there's no way in hell am I going to pay that kind of money. because you got to travel across the world and hotels and travel, and then you have to pay that ticket, no chance.
You can't drink in Saudi Arabia either, man.
You can't.
Well, that's another factor.
You can't drink in Saudi Arabia.
Bud Light ain't going to let them have a Super Bowl over there, whatever their beer sponsor is.
Hold on. So, I have to question that. You have to look that up. There's no way that the TKO Sports Group took the WWE to Saudi Arabia and you can't booze. There's no way.
You know how much money that would cost themselves?
It's pretty much illegal in that whole country, man. There's exceptions. I don't live there, but
at a sporting event, I would hope it's an. I'm just thinking about the money you would lose.
By not
being able to sell liquor or alcohol.
I don't think they do that there, man.
So a quick rundown of DC teams. I would do Commander Super Bowl, a grand, Wizards Finals, you know, Game 7, 8, 750, Nats about 500. No best WNBA Mystics.
$200.
That's
it. You know what's ironic
about that? I don't want to get hate on, but that's just
the ironic part about that.
I haven't quite got into it yet.
The ironic part about that, the Sticks currently getting their face punched in. They're down 18 at home to the Fire. So that's tough.
Well, hey, I love the segment. You guys are awesome.
Appreciate
now you're the man. You guys rock, and
we will
I'll
talk
be calling
to you
back.
Soon,
you guys are great. You
yes,
guys
sir.
Are great. Listen,
we will talk to you soon. That's Eric and Chantilly. I just even, and I know I got nosy with y'all a little bit, and I asked, "Well, what do you do for work?" That would definitely impact this. Like I said, even if I was like making crazy money and I had like a six figure salary, like.
You saw how many celebrities were at the Knicks finals, right? I mean, those guys have the money. They don't care.
They don't care.
The ticket could have cost $5,000 or $10,000 or $20,000. They're going to go.
This is totally inappropriate, but I'm going to read it. I posted Caleb Wilson playing because his organization's not treating him like a 90-year-old man. They're letting him play, and someone commented and said, I'm actually not going to read the comment because I like my job. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. We're going to switch gears and talk All Things National Football League with our guy David Harrison. Not All Things National Football League. That'd be a lie. We're talking Commanders training camp next on The Fan. Welcome back. It is overtime here on 106.7 The Fan. We're always live and free on the Odyssey app. Lynnell Willingham getting you up to 10 o'clock tonight. 2 weeks away from the start of training camp. 1 week away, rather, from the start of training camp in the National Football League. The Washington Commanders will be out on the grass before we know it. Joining us right now to give us his thoughts on what you can expect in training camp is our guy David Harrison. You can check out his work for the Locked On Commanders podcast, as well as read his work on WUSA9.com. David, appreciate you making some time for us tonight, man.
Yes, sir. What's up?
Nothing much, man. It's that time of the year where, for me as a fan, I have, you know, the ultimate optimism, right? You feel better now than what you'll feel even 2-3 weeks from now after you get to see the team on the grass for the first time. I just finished watching Quarterback, the series on Netflix, and I thought just watching, you know, Jaden Daniels operate as a leader last year amidst the turmoil, seeing how his spirits, you know, were high the entire time when he had every reason to be, you know, doom and gloom. What are you looking to see from him, you know, to start training camp? And then what's kind of the vibe been like this spring in terms of how he's digested this offense?
Yeah, I think what's going to be fun to try to watch is to see kind of how quickly they can get everything up to speed, you know, ahead of Miami coming in for joint practice. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what they've been building towards, you know, is building through the OTAs, building through the mini camp, getting familiar with the material, getting comfortable with the new program. Obviously, Jaden had a bunch of his teammates out there in Southern California to kind of build on what they did in the offseason program, trying to kind of stay sharp on it, but also get more reps, more familiarity with it. And so, you know, how quickly can they look like they've kind of hit that running speed, right? You got the crawl, walk, run method of instruction and development and all those things. And how quickly can they get up to run speed? You'd like to see them get up to that kind of run speed from an installation standpoint before Miami arrives. Last year, before the first joint practice, they really weren't there yet. And it was kind of like going into the joint practice. Hopefully that's when they can hit that stride. And I felt like that was kind of like a little too late, and it really kind of just set everything back a little bit. You know, moving forward. So would really like to see them, and obviously he's, you know, kind of the conductor of the whole thing. So the more comfortable he is, the more comfortable I think everybody will be.
Of the guys that were injured during the spring and didn't participate much, really talking about Dorrance Armstrong and Tim Settle in particular, I guess I'll just ask you about both of them. How quickly do you expect them to get kind of integrated once they're actually given the green light to go practice full speed?
Yeah, I think the good news with the guys that have been missing time, except for Trey Amos, right, is they're all veterans. You know what I mean? And so the veteran guys, Dorrance, Dietrich, like, you're not super concerned with it. Like, they've kind of done this thing before. Dietrich has been relatively healthy in his career. I think so is Dorrance. So it is a little bit of a different beast. But these guys, they've played enough football, like getting mental reps. It's not the best thing. It's not the same thing by any means. But you'd much rather have a veteran having to kind of piece together, okay, I see what it looks like on the field for my teammate doing it, watch the practice tape. So when I get on the field, I know how kind of I translate to this whole process. And I think the good news on the defensive front perspective, while yes, it is true, obviously, like Durante Jones wants everybody to know every job and, and do all those types of things. I mean, you have, you know, like 25 guys that you could see on the field any given Sunday, you know, due to rotations. And those guys aren't going to do everything, right? Like Dietrich is not going to, you know, have to do every single thing that, you know, one of these other main players are going to have to do. They're not a Dafe Owe, things like that. Now, Dorrance, again, you know, if he can get up to speed, and once he can get up to speed, then I think he could become one of those primary defenders on this unit. But at the same time, I think, you know, the combination of Charles and Menihue, Caleb on Chase on, you know, Frankie Louvu getting, you know, freed back up, there's a lot of room for Durante, for Dan Quinn, for the team just in general to not necessarily have to speed rush them back into the lineup because of the depth they have in the front seven now, defensive front seven now. Trey is a little bit different, you know what I mean, because corners don't tend to rotate, you know, like that. Like, you don't really have, you know, you're our first down corner, and then this guy's our second down corner. Like, that's not really how that job works. So Trey, you want to see get out there as soon as possible. The same thing, you know, with Akella Witherspoon, with, you know, Rasul Douglas reportedly joining the team. I know that's not official yet, but, you know, assuming that's, you know, going to happen. You have veterans, and you've got Amik Robertson. You've got Mikey that can play the slot or play outside. You got Quan Martin that can step into the slot if need be. So, really, you have, even without Trey, they've got about six guys that you could trust as starters in the cornerback position, including Nickel. And so it's a little bit deeper than it looks on paper. The top end isn't as sexy as I know everybody would like it to be, but as far as the floor is concerned, I think it's pretty solid, and I think that'll help them, again, not try to force Trey back before he's ready.
Competition is going to be the name of the game, man, when it comes to, you know, training camp 2026 for the Washington Commanders. On the defensive side, specifically at like that hang spot, David, where we assume it's going to be Adafe Owe and Kalavon Chase on week one, we know at that position, though, you're probably going to see, including the starters, four to five different guys get snaps there each and every week. Who, yeah, in your mind, is kind of like the leader in the clubhouse to be the first two off the bench at that edge rusher spot?
Oh, that's interesting. I mean, I think it's Adafe, and then it's like Amenihu and Chase on, and then it's kind of just like, how does Durante see this fit? You know what I mean? Like, I think it could be a little bit different every single week, just based on matchups and even the starts. You know what I mean? Like, who starts and who, you know, who technically, you know, who's on the field for the very first snap? That's the starter, right? Like, who that guy is could also change. Again, I think there's some players, you mentioned Adafe, like he's the guy that you know, he's going to be out there, you know, more than anybody. But I mean, even if he's out there more than anybody, like he's a 50%, 60% snap guy in his career. That's just what the position kind of, you know, entails. Mm-hmm. So even then, you know, I don't know that it's as big of a dominance in snap share as it could be. But yeah, I mean, right now, I think it's just a bunch of really solid players, really good rotational players. And I mean, you could see this team come out with a fast package to where you look at the sheet and you're like, oh, like no D tackles started this game apparently, because it's basically all edge rushers with a speed front, right? Like, so it's going to be really interesting to see how it kind of pans out. Right now, I don't know that anybody's really separated themselves, mostly because you don't have the pads. And I know DQ has mentioned some of these guys. He sees them in meetings and sees the recall and all that kind of stuff. I don't even see that yet. You know what I mean? So we can take DQ's word for it. But as far as what I've observed, until pads come on, it's hard to really get that gauge on who's truly separating themselves.
The two guys I'm most interested in seeing, Joshua Joseph's, Javonte Jean-Baptiste. Feels like they're going to be in that mix if they could stay healthy. And obviously you said it, we haven't had pads on yet, but in the spring, those guys have gotten a fair share of work. So excited to see what they can do coming up here in the fall. David Harrison joins us right now, the host of the Locked On Commanders podcast. You can also check out his writing at WSA9.com. To the offensive side of the football, the running back position, another competition, David, that I'm super intrigued by. Anthony Lynn said this a couple of weeks ago, maybe like a month ago now, when you all got the chance to speak to the assistants in the bubble. He referenced how this entire room, they have a bunch of different guys, but no one's ever been a lead guy or a bell cow type of back. In terms of this system, do you expect to see two, three, four guys each and every week?
Yeah, I think it's possible to see three. I don't know if we'll see four every week, you know, as far as like regularly, but, you know, never say never. I mean, there's certainly a world where, you know, Rashad and Bill are your kind of, you know, 1A, 1B, and then Katron's kind of your short yardage guy. So obviously, you know, he might get three, four touches a game, depending on game flow and things like that. And then a guy like Jerome Ford, you know, he's got that third down ability. Jeremy McNichols has got that third down ability. So I don't know which one of them makes the roster. But, you know, if one of those two guys, if they keep four backs and it's one of those two guys, then it's, you know, it's at least possible that maybe Bill hasn't taken that step as a third down back that everybody wants him to take this year. And if that's the case, then, you know, look, Rashad can't necessarily do it all by himself, right? So you put Jeremy out there and Jerome out there from time to time. Jerome Ford also has a really good kick return resume.
Okay.
So I think, you know, that helps him potentially fight for a roster spot as well. So, you know, it's going to be a really interesting battle from a running back perspective. But, no, I mean, it's going to be a committee. It's going to be at least two dudes, if not three. And, yeah, I mean, I think there is a reality, especially, again, depending on game flow. If you – you know, build yourself out to a 13 to 17 point lead at some time, you'd love to be able to lean on your running backs. And if you've got four of them on the roster that are all very capable guys, and, you know, if you tell me it's Bill Shad, Catron as a you know, short yarded rookie specialist, and Jerome Ford or Jeremy McNichols, I would tell you that's four dudes. You just need to rotate through them and tell that tired defense good luck. You know what I mean? Get your hands on your knees as fast as you can because you need the breath that you're going to have to take and just run the clock down, right? And it may not help your fantasy team if you got Jaden or Terry or Antonio or Chig on your roster, but it's going to help the Commanders win games.
Yeah, I expect them to run the ball a fair amount, and I'm intrigued to see how they marry the run game to the pass game. But that competition to me, I know we spent a lot of time, you know, talking about the secondary, the D-line, linebacker, that wide receiver, you know, that running back competition to me is one that's fascinating because I still – if you're the coaches, like, there's no way you have a real grasp on what all of these guys are at this point because you haven't seen them in pads. That is a position that is so different in terms of when they get the pads on.
It can be. I mean, you can see a lot, you know, even without the pads, you can see a lot of the vision and you know, the reading and, you know, when a blitzer comes in, even without pads on, like, is the running back in the right position to make the block and pick up the blitz and things like that. And, of course, these veterans, you know, you have tape and, you know, like Rashad White, you can go back to Buccaneers tape and say, like, okay, he made the right read on based on the adjustment we had on the defensive front that we got. The blitzer came in. He got in position to block him. Obviously, we're not engaging, so we're not actually touching. But you go back to that Buccaneers tape and you see he's a very willing blocker. So as a coach, you can have confidence that, yeah, I think Shad is going to pick that up. But I think that Jaden's going to live to take that extra tenth of a second he needs to hit whoever he's targeting on that play. Jeremy McNichols, I mean, you don't even got to look past his burgundy and gold tape. All you got to go back to Cincinnati, you know, 2024, and you know that dude, he's about protecting his quarterback. So you know that there, Jerome Ford's got the tape. Again, Bill's really the only one that is questionable right now as far as his pass blocking is concerned because we haven't seen it yet. So he's the only to be a question mark on. But then the ball carrier or the ball vision or the carrier vision, whatever, the eye for the running back to find the hole, sure, find the spot, sure, right, and set up his blocks, things like that. You can see a lot of that even without pads on, you know, getting out on your routes, running your routes crisp, being in your spot, being at your landmark. There's been a lot of conversation. David Blau and then passing coordinator David Rye, you would hear them a lot during the OTAs, during the minicamp, specifically talking to everybody, receiver, running back, tight end, doesn't matter. If you're ineligible, they're talking to you about getting to your landmark, getting to your spot, getting there on time. Like, we need this faster. We need this more crisp, you know, and it's not just young guys. Like, you know, they're talking to vets. They're talking to young guys alike. It's incredibly important. I always kind of tasting back to, like, Bill Walsh, really the first one who kind of was like, listen, like, you got to get to this 10-yard break at seven steps or whatever it was. It can't be right. 6.5, can't be 7.5. It's got to be 7 or else we're getting intercepted. And it's just that level of detail, you know, and that's where guys are going to really kind of make their mark. So, you know, from our perspective, 100%, like, once the pads come on, we really get to see the running backs come to life. Mm-hmm. But from talking to the coaches, you know, just over the years, they see a lot from these running backs, even without the pads on. But 100%, you're going to see a lot more once the pads do come on.
Talking ball with a guy, David Harrison of WSA9, as well as the Locked On Commanders podcast. Flip over to the offensive side of the football. Right now, the team is one injury away from rookie Matt Golden or career practice squad guy Julian Good-Jones being at center. What do you make of kind of how they've addressed and handled that position this summer, and how confident should fans be in that position as we get geared up for camp?
I mean, I think you should be pretty confident in Nick Allegretti. You know, I know he's never been like this consistently starting center in the National Football League, and, you know, he's a little bit older in his career and he's been on the squad now for a few years. So it's kind of like, okay, but if this dude was, you know, that kind of a center, then why wasn't he doing it in the first place? But I think there's something to be said and understood about what is really being asked of the center position, right? This team, it looks pretty evident. They want an athletic center that can move, get to the second level. When Nick came from Kansas City, that was the first thing we all ranted and raved about, is how tough he is, but how much he loves to get to that second level and just clean out a linebacker or a safety if he has the opportunity to. So that's kind of the center you have. But then beyond that, and really the most important part of it, is the mentality, right? It's the communication, it's the IQ, and it's the leadership. And Nick is one of those guys going back to last year through the struggles and everything. I mean, there were games where he didn't even play, and I came to him to ask him some questions after the game because I just know he's tuned in. He's plugged in. Like, this isn't a dude sitting on the bench who's like, oh, man, that corn dog smells good. Wish I had one of those. Like, no, like, he's in the action. You know what I mean? He knows what's going on. He's paying attention. He's taking notes. He's, you know, he does all the stuff. And you see guys come up to him in the locker room after games where he maybe didn't play a big role in, and they're talking to him and he's giving them advice and he's having these conversations with these guys. So someone who's very respected in that O-line group, you know what I mean? So I'm incredibly confident in Nick Allegretti. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that he'll be an all-pro and next year he'll be on the NFL top 100 or anything like that, you know what I mean? Because that's putting a lot of pressure on him that he doesn't need. But I think he's a fully capable center. As far as the depth is concerned, that's where things would get a little bit dicey, you know what I mean? Because then, you know, if he's not in there at center, like, then, you know, who's setting the protection? Like, how much of it now goes on to Jaden, and is he ready for that? And how much does that impact the rest of his processing, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera?
Yeah.
You know, so that's a little bit of a different story. there's still some guys out there, some veterans who are looking for jobs, sure. And I don't know if that'll be a move that gets made before training camp or anything like that. But we'll see. You know, Julian Good-Jones has been around for a minute. He knows a thing or two, because he's seen a thing or two. Matt Golden certainly has some potential in him. I know a lot of you know, I don't know about a lot of fans, but some Commanders fans are like, well, Jason Kelce was drafted in the sixth round too. Like, yeah, okay, you know, that's cool. But like, you don't find Jason Kelce, you know, in the sixth round every year. And truthfully, right. Like, let's all be real. Jason Kelce was like Jason Kelce for like the last handful of years of his career. It took him a minute to get to that stage. You know what I mean? So I don't know if I would put that label on Matt Golden either. That's not fair to him as a young man. So yeah, I'm with you on that. You know, the whole Tyler Biotis thing continues to be confusing. Because even if you want that more athletic center, got it. But until you have it, they went after Tyler Linderbaum. So obviously, you know, it wasn't like we just love Nick so much that we're going to move on from Tyler. It was, you know, if Nick is our safety net, we're okay with that, which I agree with. But they clearly have plans for an upgrade. Look, man, we know how the NFL works. Yeah. Like, we know legal tampering, all this other stuff. People talk, people are doing things. And I don't know, maybe somebody had a handshake deal with Tyler that they thought was solid. Tyler Linderbaum, that is, and then once free agency opened, Tom Brady came in and said, hey, Tyler, here's a bag that makes it worth you going back on your word. I don't know, and we may never know what happened there, but it certainly seems weird that the way everything went down, but I'm confident in Nick Allegretti, and I think everybody else should be too.
I'll wrap it up on this, David. Appreciate you making some time for us always, man.
Of course.
In terms of the coordinators, two new coordinators, David Blau, Durante Jones, which side of the ball, I guess, David, do you expect to hit the ground running first?
Probably the defense, just because
that's naturally how it goes. It feels like, I mean,
sometimes, there's certainly that element of it, but I think, you know, Durante, like, he's a first time NFL defensive coordinator, right? Mm-hmm. But he's not a first time coordinator. Coordinated for 1 year at LSU, that's valuable experience. It's not NFL experience, but it's still valuable experience. Right. Putting the whole thing together, you know what I mean? Like, it's one thing, you know, to sit in the orchestra. It's another thing to conduct the orchestra, right? But Durante has at least done it before, and so I think that gives him a little bit of a heads up. You know, he's been a pass game coordinator, so he's been kind of in that hip pocket of a D coordinator, met multiple D coordinators during his career. He's just been around a long time. He's been around a lot of different programs. And you learn things, you know, through osmosis and experience and all that kind of stuff. So David Blau, I think he's just naturally, behind because he's younger. He's only been a coach going into his third year. Now he's been in the NFL for a very long time, and quarterbacks are basically in coaches' meetings every day because of the quarterback position, right? So there's certainly something to be said there. But even with that experience, Durante, you know, his level of experience still, you know, trumps him as far as that is concerned. And then I also think that there's just a little bit more modular ability in an offense, you know what I mean? Whereas, like, defense is, we want to be fast, we want to do this, so who can be fast? It's 11 guys working as one. Whereas on offense, I can take this play and put this receiver in instead of this receiver, and now we change it from, you know, this type of, maybe it's a drive play, and now we're going to turn it into a different type of play because we put this receiver in. Like, things can be so customizable. I think David Blau is going to have to, you know, almost kind of fight, because he's just such a smart football mind. Like, this dude can come up with so many different ideas. He's going to really have to kind of make sure he's not coming up with too many ideas. You know what I mean? And at the same time, like, in the effort of not coming up with too many ideas, are you getting too simplistic? So, like, it's a dance there. Whereas Durante, like, he can kind of just unleash.
Let him go.
You know what I mean? Right. Like, so I think, and then he's got more veterans on his side of the ball. I think, you know, the offense. I know Sonny is obviously young. The corners are a little bit young. But as far as, I don't know how you have, like, fantasy, like, critical reps, critical starts versus, you know, just guys that are injured, things like that. I think when it comes to the defense, it's just a little bit more of a groupthink project, whereas the offense can be a little bit more individualistic, if that makes sense.
David, enjoy chopping it up with you as always, man. We will talk soon. I'll see you out at camp, buddy.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you.
That is our guy, David Harrison, Locked On Commanders Podcast, WSA9.com. Give him a follow on the X app at DHarrison82, one of the absolute best talking all things Commanders. We'll take a quick timeout when we come back. More Overtime here on The Fan.